Line is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And joining us on that hotline is our good buddy from the Post-Gazette, Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo. Good morning to you, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
I think we're good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, real good.
Callis is full-time now. How you feel about that, Ray?
Oh, that's awesome. Nicky didn't tell me. I was on hold with him for a couple minutes. He didn't spill the beans, so congrats, Nick.
I'm not one to brag, but thank you for your kind
We're bragging
words.
For you. We're very excited around here. Are we also excited about Denzel Mims being released? I mean, I'm not happy for the guy, but does this mean, Ray, is something upcoming here? I mean, you understand when they do these moves. Was it odd to release a player on June 18th?
A little bit odd because most of the time, if you're with the team, throughout OTAs and mini camp, they'll keep you at least for the early stages of training camp until somebody else becomes available. So, from that aspect, yeah, I think it's a little bit out of the ordinary. But does this necessarily mean that a Brandon Ayuk trade is coming in the next couple of days? I don't think so. I think for the Steelers, I think they're interested, but I think they're interested at their price. And I think what Omar Khan is going to do is he's going to wait until it gets really uncomfortable for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And if you've noticed, Ayuk is kind of starting to make it uncomfortable for the 49ers. So, I think deadlines always spur these deals, right? It's as the season gets closer, I think the 49ers might have a little bit more urgency in moving him. But, yeah, I still think listen, guys, it's been out there since March. We've known this has been a thing since March. And I think if it's going to happen, probably not going to happen in June. I think it'll happen probably closer to training camp or the start of the season.
Ray, the AFC North is going to be shown on Hard Knocks in December, in-season Hard Knocks. What's your take of Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers, being on Hard Knocks? I know that Tomlin probably wasn't a fan of Hard Knocks ever and probably tried to run away from ever being a part of that. I don't even think he could. I think he had to have a losing season or something. I forget the rule before. But they're going to be on Hard Knocks with the Cleveland Browns, the Ravens, and the Bengals. How do you think that that's going to go?
I guarantee you everyone in that building hates it. You're right. There were like all kinds of stipulations, right? There were like you had to have like two losing seasons in a row or two non-playoff seasons in a row. The Steelers never got to that point. So they are always, they didn't have to do it. But, it's like anything, guys. If the NFL is going to make money off this and the teams are going to benefit, the Steelers will hold their nose. And they'll do it. So I'm sure there's a financial aspect to this. I'm sure it means more money in the pockets of the owners. That's the only reason the Steelers are doing this. Mike Tomlin, I don't know if he's been on record, but I just know from covering this team for as long as I have that it's been a very distasteful thing for them to consider. And now that it's here, I'm sure they're just going to hold their nose and do it because they're asked.
Yeah, I saw a video actually on Twitter yesterday, guys, where Tomlin was asked about Hard Knocks. And he said, would you do it if they asked you? And Mike Tomlin said, ask? And then all you guys, you laughed pretty heartily. So I think you're spot on. I don't think he wants to do this. I do, however, think he's going to wind up being like the star. Mike Tomlin, people are going to be mad. He hasn't won a playoff game in 7 years. We know all the reason why Steelers fans don't like Mike T, but I think his personality is really going to come through on this thing if he lets it, and I think people will wind up liking him. The fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Ray, did any of the non-George Pickens receivers take a step forward in camp? Did any of them hold their head higher than the other guys?
Not really. I mean, it's football in shorts, and I really hesitate to draw a lot of conclusions from it. I think we'll get a better idea of, what these guys can do in training camp. The one thing I did take away from it, and it's not so much play on the field, although Calvin Austin did have a nice spring, but when people were asked about who the leader was in that receivers room, people said Calvin Austin. And I just thought that was a interesting thing with, George Pickens being the top guy in that room production-wise. Calvin Austin's a guy who was injured his rookie year, played sparingly in his second year, and here he's being viewed, you know, as a leader in that room. So I just thought that was interesting. Maybe he's taking a step forward. He is older. You know, he came into the league, I think, at 23, 24. So he is a mature guy. So maybe that's something to keep an eye on. I think he could be a good player. I don't know if he's number two, number three material, but I do think he could be a nice receiver, a depth guy for this offense here this season.
Ray, sticking with leadership, during OTAs and during minicamp, was it evident that Russell Wilson separated himself from the pack of being the leader of the team, the leader of the offense? Could you see his leadership qualities kind of bleed out throughout the practices last week?
Yeah, and I thought Justin Fields was fine too, but you know, Russell is a vet and he's done this before. He's led really good teams in this league, and I think he's going to do the same for the Steelers. I've said this before, guys. Since he's gotten to town, he has done everything right. You know, now we'll see if that continues throughout training camp and the early portions of the season. But just the way he handles himself, you know, the way he commands a huddle, the way he commands, you know, interviews when he does it. You know, he's very purposeful in how he speaks. So, yeah, I think Russell, I don't know that he had to separate himself in that regard, but yeah, I think he's the undisputed leader of this offense right now. And I think that's the way it should be. You know, it's fine to have veteran offensive linemen be leaders, but they're more quiet guys. You need that quarterback who's been there and done it before. And, you know, the Steelers finally have that guy after searching for a couple of years.
Ray Fittipaldo with us here on the Fan Morning Show, and the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Just to go back to Brandon Ayuk for a second here. So you're saying the Steelers would be interested, but at their price. What do you think San Francisco could realistically hope to get for Brandon Ayuk, and where do you think the line in the sand would be for the Steelers here?
Yeah, I mean, you throughout the process, going back to March, you heard they wanted a one and then maybe, you know, maybe a third or something like that. I don't think the Steelers are going to pay that price. So, you know, for the Steelers, I don't know what San Francisco wants, but for the Steelers, do you do it for like a second in 2025? You know, that's kind of what I'm thinking right now. And the other layer to this, guys, is if you acquire him, you got to pay him, and you got to figure that into your salary cap. And I wrote about this last week or a couple weeks ago. Justin Jefferson's contract really complicated things. And I'm not saying the Steelers should have made a deal back in at the draft, but the price just went up because of the Justin Jefferson contract. So that's another layer to this as well that, you know, you have to consider. So I don't know what the compensation would be from San Fran's perspective, but I do know the contract went up. He's not going to get Justin Jefferson money, but all receivers now are going to benefit from that contract.
Last thing here for you, Ray, real quick, before we let you go. When Alex Highsmith's contract was restructured, do you think it was because they had an eye on San Francisco, or was it just anything to be just open to anything, I guess?
Yeah, I would say a receiver. I don't know if it was specifically Ayuk, but I will tell you guys, I was told Ayuk was a possibility as far back as March. You know, I can't remember if it was before or after Deontay was traded, probably after Deontay. This has been a thing for a while, and I think you are right. They made that deal with Highsmith to clear up the space. They didn't pull the trigger. We'll see if it happens in a month or two.
Raymond, thank you very much for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Ray.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette.
Could you Ray says there that he couldn't remember if it was before or after Deontay Johnson was traded for Ayuk. Let's say that it was before that they were interested. And say they pulled it off, and you had Ayuk, Johnson, and George. Yeah.
Well, I think they would have had to do it where you're getting Ayuk knowing you're going to move Deontay, I would think. That actually would have made more sense, because now they look like a team that didn't have a plan, or at least has struck out on their plan. If you had traded for Ayuk and then moved Deontay, you're going, okay, well, that's
what
great.
What if they swung something that they like? What if they had Deontay Johnson still in their plans, but they still wanted to get IU?
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'm saying.
If they would have had those three, I just said in the last segment they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. If they had those three, they'd have a shot.
Yeah,
they'd have a shot.
Yeah,
with a competent quarterback, which we believe that they now have. He doesn't even have to be spectacular. You just get the ball to those guys. Oh, man.
Because they could have used it. I mean, they could have, like, last year, like, I know the quarterback situation wasn't great, but they still could have used a legit third receiver, not even a number three, but another guy. I mean, like, look at Cincinnati, like, over the years. I mean, you got Higgins, Boyd, and you got Chase. I mean, Miami, you have Waddle, you got, Tyreek Hill, you have, they have another receiver in there. So, like, it's not out of the realm that you wouldn't think that we need another receiver, even if Deontay was here, that was a big-time receiver. That would have put you over the edge, man. Wow.
Oh, my God. I mean, I think even with Mason Rudolph, they'd have had a chance last year. I mean, he knew where to go with the ball, but you did. You ran out of playmakers. The guy that they're looking at as the veteran, which is just shocking to me, is Calvin Austin III. I mean, at times he was your third option last year. Like, they didn't. They had nothing in terms of depth.
I mean, look at what Seattle, Smith and Jigba. You have DK Metcalf, and you have
Lockett.
Oh. Like, it's not really out of the realm that if they were interested, even if they did keep Deontay around.
Yeah, let's say Deontay was a good soldier, for lack of putting it a different way. Like, you probably don't sign Patrick Queen, but offensively, you're the envy of many teams around the league. Like, only the teams you have mentioned would boast a better or on par receiving core. Than those three, two of those guys are always open.
Mm-hmm.
I really want Brandon Ayuk, man.
I know.
I really want him. I've been watching a lot more YouTube tape. highlights. Is that a better way of putting it? He's good.
Yeah.
I think he's underutilized.
Yeah.
In fact,
on purpose, though. But
no. No, some weeks he's just not going to eat because you're going to give the ball to Christian McCaffrey 37 times.
Right. Like, he could go out there and have 8 catches a game if he really wanted to.
Yes! And sometimes I think Shanahan wants to be the smartest guy in the room, and oftentimes he is. Like, hey, it's going to be the Kyle Juszczyk game. Like, that's going to... They're only one football.
Mm-hmm.
Let's react a little bit more to what Ray had to say coming up next. We've got John Wehner at the bottom of the hour talking about your Buccos. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money.
Dive into a world of electrifying anime excitement with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination. Unleash the mayhem with Hulu's huge curated collection of anime shows, from legendary classics like Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, to the latest sizzling releases like Sandland, Mission Yosakura Family, and tons more.
Why are you fixated on me?
Because you're my friend.
That's right. Get fixated and get your anime fix with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601 horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
For you. We were talking about Ayuk, and so you get this text. Arthur Smith doesn't use wide receivers like Miami or other offensive coordinators. The tight end is his number two. I'm looking at the 2020 Tennessee Titans roster, where A.J. Brown had 1,000 yards and Corey Davis had 984. Seems like two wide receivers, 8.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Atlanta last year, and okay, Drake London was their number one, 69 catches for 905 yards. They had two tight ends to use, though. Kyle Pitts, Jonnu Smith, 53 catches and 50 catches, respectively. Those guys combined for over 1,000 yards. You know Arthur Smith. It looks to me, just by comparing those two rosters, if he's got a number two receiver, that they're going to use it, and if he doesn't, they're not. Like, it ain't that complicated.
It's not. I mean, a decent offensive coordinator, a good offensive coordinator, has a philosophy and a structure to how they want to run their offense, but they have to be adaptable. They have to evolve, and Arthur Smith is willing to evolve to personnel. Like, you give me this, I'm going to use that. Like, so you're trying to say, like, if Arthur Smith had Chris Carter and Randy Moss, that he'd throw to, you know, whoever the tight end was back then?
No, they cut Chris Carter.
Right, and then, like, what? Like, I mean, that's just how football works. He is willing to adapt and use a three wide receiver set. He just had better weapons at times at the tight end spot. So in his mind, and being a smart offensive coordinator, yeah, I'm going to utilize my weapons.
Yeah. I'm guessing that when they're determining whether or not to bring in Brandon Ayuk, you know, they're considering what they'd have to give up. They're considering what they'd have to pay him. But I'm sure Omar, Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith get in a room. Hey, what are we thinking with this? Like, what are, and the answer is probably, yeah, give me that guy. Give me that guy.
Well, I mean, it still doesn't have to change. If that is your thought process, whoever texted in, that the number two receiver is the tight end, right? So you bring in Ayuk, he's the number one receiver, targeter, or getting targets, and so is Pat Freiermuth is the number two, and George Pickens is the number three.
Yeah, whatever. However you want to slice it.
Fine.
We work ourselves into a lather on all kinds of things. And look, we do sports talk radio. Like, I fire myself up all the time. I got to take on everything. That's the biz. But we had someone earlier tweet in, I don't even know if I want the Pirates to get guys because their manager's so bad. Is he even going to use them correctly? I'd like to find out. I'd like a better player. Well, I don't think the Steelers should get Brandon Ayuk because Arthur Smith doesn't use the other wide receiver. Like, Why don't we want our teams to have nice things?
Oh, no.
Like, if you want to have the argument, we don't want Brandon Ayuk because it's going to cost a first-round pick at $28 million, okay. Then that, to me, is a legitimate argument. I don't agree. I'd just like to have Brandon Ayuk, but if that's the way you want to paint it, I understand that. That's a lot to give up, and it's a lot to pay a guy. And maybe you like George Pickens, and you think if they pay him, they're not going to pay George Pickens. That's a fair argument. But this whole Arthur Smith doesn't use wide receiver two thing is poppycock.
Yeah.
What? What?
What's that?
Poppycock?
Come on.
Now I'm looking it up.
You used the word correctly. It's just the way you can't say it.
Poppycock. The definition is empty talk or writing. Nonsense. It's a synonym. Oh, God. Of nonsense. Poppycock.
I've never heard you use that word before.
Isn't the quarterback going to choose who he's throwing the ball to anyhow? Like, oh, Brandon Ayuk's open, but Arthur Smith doesn't want me to use him.
Right.
Like, how stupid is that? Now I'm looking for poppycock synonyms. I can't say synonym.
Cinnamon.
Simonin. Poppycock. Nonsense, garbage, claptrap, boulder dash, blather, blether, moonshine, foolishness, rubbish, tripe, hogwash, baloney, drivel,
like, why did that word pop up? Like, in your mind, like, you've never used that before.
I was enraged and didn't want to be offensive, so poppycock's what came out.
You've never used, like, how?
Be honest, man, I don't know if I've ever used it in my life.
Oh, look at
the whole thing is boulder dash. Coming up next, John Wehner to talk Buccos, brought to us by Allegiant Federal Community Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Also, Wehner, brought to us by Gutter Helmet. Say goodbye to gutter cleaning forever. Gutter Helmet by Lednor Home Solutions, 888-5-HELMET. Wehner, next. Oh, yeah, baby. John Wehner joins us now. Buccos losers last night, a game back now in the wild card race. And John, I have to imagine days like yesterday, the day before, especially a day like today, you must be happier in the broadcast booth and not down on the field, huh?
Well, I'm not working, actually. I'm in the air conditioned watching it, which is even better.
That is good.
The broadcast booth could get hot. And, you know, depending on where you are, some are better than others, but it can get hot up there. When you played, the heat can get a little annoying or what have you. We played on turf. It was way worse. But these guys have done it before. You know, it's one of those things where you know, you just deal with it. It's the same for both clubs. You know, you just go out there. I know you don't like the stinking heat, Crowley, or the cold, and it's just part of life.
I'm
you know?
Just fragile, John. I'm going to ask you one more stupid question, and then I'll cede the floor to Doran for all the good stuff. So would you like it when it's 95 degrees? Let's say you're playing on turf. Would you rather have a guy like Falter out there where you know the ball is going to be in play? Or would you rather have a guy like Skeens out there where you're just standing there sweating?
Well, I want the ball in play. I want Zane. Well, for me, it was Zane Smith. Zane Smith, his games were so quick because he just threw the ball in the zone and they hit ground balls at you all day. It kept it active. You know, when you get you know, a guy that's throwing a lot of pitches, and Skeens, he throws a lot of pitches because he's hard to hit. It's not like he's up there walking guys. So that's the worst when you're out there and it's really cold. Really cold and windy and guys are walking people. And that's the worst because it's so cold out there and there's nowhere you can, nothing you could do. The heat's the heat. I'd rather be hot than cold. But when you got guys pounding the zone, getting ground balls a lot, yeah, you like that. That's a lot. 210, I think, was the game time last night. So, yeah, you don't mind it when Falter's out there pounding it so you can get back in the dugout.
John, Brian Reynolds has been extremely hot lately. I mean, I think he leads Major League Baseball in some categories, a lot of categories, but he's been hot. What is it, about 16 games in a row, Crowley, something like that, that he's had a hit? What does that take, like, as a player? Like, is it more of, hey, I'm just seeing the ball right now, I'm feeling it? Is it, you know, mechanics? Is it, you know, practice reps? What is it whenever a player does get hot like that and goes on streaks of hitting the ball?
I don't know. I've never experienced that.
Never happened.
No. Not for 16, like maybe 6. But, no, when you're locked in, it is so comfortable being locked in at the plate because it's more timing than anything else like that. When everything's on time, you know, mechanically, okay, your foot's getting down on time, your hands are getting back on time. There's so many things in hitting that make it easier or really hard. The timing is probably the most important thing. Like when you're on time for the fastball, no matter who's up there, no matter whose fastball it is, and you feel like that you're on time and you can get the bat hit on the fastball, everything seems to slow down. So now you're just looking for a fastball, and when you see something off speed, whether it's a break, curveball, slide, or changeup, it seems that you recognize that pitch better, and so you're less likely to chase something out of the zone. So when you're on time, like Brian Reynolds is right now, for whatever reason, he kills it in June. It just feels like you have more time to make swing decisions, and so you're not swinging at anything but the pitch you want to swing at. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's one of the greatest things in the world. You know, when you're feeling like that at the plate, you're thinking like, boy, I wish I could make this last forever. And the opposite is true when you're not on time and you're struggling. It feels like everything's 10 times faster than what it really is.
Is it harder to keep it going, or is it harder to get going when you're not going?
Well, you don't know what makes it go away when you're hot. You're like thinking, oh, this is great. Blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden one day it's not there anymore. And it's like, what happened? And then you're searching for it again until it comes back. The other way, I think is more difficult. And then it's kind of the same thing. You work on it in the cage, you work on it up, you know, during early BP or whatever. And you get in the batter's box and it's like, doggone, I can't quit chasing that pitch, man. I can't get to the fastball. And again, you're searching, you're looking at video, trying to figure out a way to get that timing back. And sometimes it's just one pitch. It could be a pitch, you hit a foul ball and it's like, boom, there it is. And then you get comfortable again. But when you're not on time, it's a constant struggle. And you're hoping just for like a hanging breaking ball or something to get you out of it.
John, take us through the thought process of maybe what you were thinking whenever McCutchen ran on Brian Reynolds, one hit to the outfield, and he could have stayed on second. It was only one out, and then he took off. I mean, you usually don't see mistakes like that from a veteran player like McCutchen. What was your thought process during that?
Well, you know, I think he's just trying to be aggressive there. I mean, there's been, I think with Reynolds at the plate, there's been two instances in just the last 3 or 4 days where he's on first with, and yes, last night with two outs, and you hit a double and he's unable to score. I know it happened like late in that road trip, and then it happened again Monday night. I think it was Monday night. Or no, was it yesterday?
I think it was early yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, it was early yesterday to where, you know, you hit a double, you're hoping to score on the double, you're not, and, you know, and for whatever reason, it seemed like on both of those plays where he doesn't score on the double, you know, his secondary leads weren't great, his jumps weren't great, and so then you're kind of forced as a third base coach to hold him up. So I don't know if that's what was on his mind, where he wants to make sure that he gets off and going. So if it's another double, he can score this time. But obviously, you still got to read it. You get to second base, you got to read to see if the guy's going to make the play. You can be all maybe even a step around second base. You see the guy make the catch, you're going to have time to go back. That's the biggest thing there, is you just can't commit before you know that it's going to be down and safe. You got to, you know, you can run hard to second or maybe a step or two around second, but then you got to hold up to see if he's going to catch it. If he catches it, you still have time to get back. If he doesn't catch it, you still have a chance to score. So, you know, I think that's, in my mind, that's what I think, because I know there's a couple of doubles where I thought maybe he could score on, and so there he's trying to be overly aggressive so he can score on that particular ball if it got down.
Wehner with us here on the Fan Morning Show. John is his first name. John Wehner with us here. And it's quite the juxtaposition seeing the Reds here, a team that has stolen over 100 bases. Now, Ellie De La Cruz has a lot to do with that. In fact, he's stolen almost as many bases himself as the Pirates have all year. And so skill set's going to have a lot to do with this. But, John, do the Pirates run enough?
It depends. You know, there's been times where the base running hasn't been that good, and they've made some mistakes where you're going to be more cautious. But, you know, can Reynolds have more bags? Probably. Could Cruz have more bags? Probably. You know, we don't have a ton of speed. I Reynolds is probably an average runner. O'Neill Cruz is above average runner. You know, I don't know why we're not seeing him be more aggressive on the bases. Outside of that, I'm trying to think who's going to steal your bags. You know, Hayes every now and again, Triolo every now and again. But we don't have the burners to where, you know, you got to – nowadays it's a math problem. Okay, this guy's this quick to the plate. This catcher throws this quick to second. Our guy runs this fast. You know, if the matchup doesn't work, you're going to be more cautious, especially, you know, if you're making outs on the bases, you're going to be more cautious. But there are times, though, where I think you have to push the envelope a little bit and be a little more aggressive. But you're just not going to be foolish and run into outs. You got to make sure that the math works in a certain situation. You could try maybe a little more hit and run. Maybe something to get the offense going a little more. I mean, the offense has been better the last month or so, but I still think there's more. You need more. You need to score more runs. And it's not, you know, playing all these close games, you know, I keep thinking about this team's ready to go on a run. When are they going to win 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row? To do that, they're going to have to score more, because you can't win 2-1, 4-2, 3-1, because you're going to be crushing the back end of your bullpen. Every now and again, you got to win 10-2, like we did on, I guess it was Sunday in Colorado, to where you can, you know, you don't have to use those back end guys, because you'll never be able to go on a big run of 6-8 games if you keep winning 4-2. I'm looking for more offense. Hopefully, if it's not internal now, they make a move to add to it.
John, this was great, man. We appreciate the time, and we will talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, guys. You have a stay cool, Crowley.
You
don't
too.
Overexert yourself.
Would hate to do that. Thanks, Wehner.
See you guys.
Thanks. What a guy. You ask about long hitting streaks. He's like, I don't know.
Never did it before. No clue. No idea, personally. Don't know.
I want him in for a full show.
This would have been the day to do it, because he's off. Just thought about that. Did you reach out?
No. Of course not. Should I ask him about tomorrow? Or Friday?
He's probably going to be working. Oh, they're off tomorrow.
They are off. I'm sure that's what he wants. I'm going to text him. See if he wants to come in.
Might as well.
Because we got Walker on tomorrow. We're scheduling now live on the air. Just get you. People like Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
We're just giving them the behind the scenes how the sausage is made stuff right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll text him.
Okay.
Or do you think you should? We'll have our full-time producer, Callis, do it. He can text Rock and see if he wants to come on.
On a technicality, I don't start till July 1st.
All right, we react to some of what Wehner had to say coming up next. Big game today for the Buccos, and then Doug Whaley joins us for the entire 9 o'clock hour. Doug Whaley coming up in about 10 minutes, the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So you asked Wehner about Reynolds and his hitting streak, and baseball's funky, dude. Like, why is Brian Reynolds basically Tony Gwynn in June? Like, it's not just a one-off. It's like every June, Brian Reynolds, he like raises from the dead.
Takes his time to probably get into it. I mean, right? Yeah, that's kind of somewhat obvious. You know, if there's a trend to it, it takes him some time to get used to, you know, hitting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It takes him some time. That's why you paid him, because you're expecting that at least every year. But you would hope that he would start and finish like that, which is very hard to do in Major League Baseball. But, you know, it takes him some time. You just wish that somebody else would be like that right now. And I'm nervous that the guy that was like that is going to go down on the downward spiral, and that's Nick Gonzalez, because he hasn't had a hit, I don't believe, in the last
three games. Yeah. He's had some good swings. The strikeout numbers seem to be going in the other direction, which I don't love. Yeah, I mean, he was so good, and he wasn't last year. He did.
He's kept them alive.
Yes. And no one was counting on that. I mean, he could have, not to be dramatic, but he could save some jobs here, right? Like, we talk about the record since Skeens came up, 17 and 16. Nick Gonzalez, big part of that.
Huge.
Big part of that. The other guy I'm concerned to go the other way is Andrew McCutchen.
I was going to say Connor Joe, but...
Well, he is gone. I mean, he's hitting like 150 this month. And we knew he wasn't going to be an 800 OPS guy, but you would... It doesn't always work like this. You would just hope for some consistency. Like you we were talking about Brian Reynolds just a moment ago. A guy that he reminds me of a little bit is former Pirates first baseman Adam LaRoche, who I'm looking here. In April and March, had a .222 career batting average. May... 261, and then he would just take off. August, 280. September, October, 283. I don't know that there's rhyme or reason for it, but you can't discount it. And then you've got the other guy, Rowdy Tellez, who, well, if they can just get a major league player out of him the rest of the way, that's great.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to be this. You hope to God, he's not what he was. Can you just be a 700 OPS guy the rest of the way? Which would be a big, big thing for them. A big game today. Mitch Keller, it's a rubber match. They're 1-6 in their last rubber matches, seven rubber matches. However, they're 1-0 in their last one. Do they get it?
Yes.
I feel good too.
Yeah, I think the bats actually come around today. For some reason, I just have a inkling and intuition feeling that they're going to hit the ball pretty well today.
I hope they do. And if they lose this series, I am going to be mad. And we will talk about that tomorrow, because they will have then lost two consecutive series against NL Central foes in series that were big-time winnable. And we'll have to wait and see the lineup that Derek Shelton's going to write and put out there today. If it comes out before the end of our show, we'll get it to you, because last getaway day, the lineup did not look so hot for one Derek Shelton. And yesterday he was on with Starkey and Zeiss, and he didn't really have a good explanation for it. Doug Whaley's up next. He's brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. Doran, I know you read stuff for them. That home run got robbed yesterday, and the Tri-State Office Furniture picture was right there. The ad right along the outfield wall, and I was thinking of you. I almost texted you. Ah, the best in the business.
They are. Ed Meyer, he is the best.
A nice man. I met him.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Doug Whaley, also a nice man. He's next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, hot 93.